He is the winningest coach in Florida State history, a winner of three National Coach of the Year awards, a two-time ACC Coach of the Year, a two-time Big East Coach of the Year. Florida State's 9-0. They're number 19 in both polls, and they are hosting Oklahoma State in Sunrise, Florida on Saturday night. Leonard Hamilton is my guest. Leonard, it's great to have you back on. How are you?
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing great, Coach. How about you? How are things?
Things are moving along pretty good this early in the season. Kids gotten off to a pretty good start. And the good thing about this team, we're not even having come close to reaching our potential. So we seem to be in a pretty good place now.
That's how it looks to me, too. I'm going to talk about the upside in a minute for the club. But you beat Tulane 72-53 on Sunday. That's a game where you were really moving the ball well in the second half. You got some good looks. You hit nearly 60% of your shots. So what do you make of how your team worked on the offensive end in the second half of that win?
Well, we did not get off to a good start on the offensive end in the first half. The ball was sticking a little bit on the first nine possessions. I think we might have made 18 passes, which is not good enough with the kind of system that we are making. I thought we shot the ball a little quick, kind of didn't get off to a good start. I thought we adjusted. So I think what we are doing is we have a little game slippage from time to time. We play against Florida, and we thought we moved the ball real well. The next game, we didn't move it quite as well. But that just shows that we're still young. I have about eight kids that are first and second year players. Well, the cake's still in the oven. We're still developing a little bit. But I think that our guys are coachable. They responded very well. We did a much better job the second half.
Florida State coach Leonard Hamilton's my guest. You mentioned Florida. That 9-0 start includes an 83-66 win over Florida, who was number five, and you did it in their place. You out-rebounded them 51-34. You outscored them 36-20 in the paint. You forced 17 turnovers. In other words, that is about as impressive a win as any team has had so far this year. How pleased were you with your guys that night?
Well, we've shown signs in this game of being capable of doing that. We did put a pretty complete game together against Florida, but that's what most young teams do. They're somewhat inconsistent. You know, they'll play well in spurts, but in order for us to prepare ourselves for the ACC race that is going to be another dogfight, we got to become consistent with all those things.
You know, after that game, though, there was a nice celebration in the locker room. As a coach, you've won a lot of big games in your career. A lot of coaches talk about how losing is heartbreaking, winning is merely a relief. But when you win a game like that, and especially if you've got a young team, do you let them enjoy it a little bit more? Do you let yourself enjoy it a little bit more, or are you immediately on to the next game?
Well, we allowed them to, you know, to enjoy themselves in the locker room, and there's a lot of chatter on the bus, but to be very honest with you, we can't get too excited when you're in the ACC about a victory like that. That's what we're supposed to do. We got to act like we've done that before, and that's what we expect to do every night out. This bunch kind of buys in. They're coachable. We have great chemistry. They like playing with each other, and they're allowing us to coach them. So I don't think we have a chemistry problem, and we won't necessarily have any letdowns. At least we haven't shown any signs of it, because we've been working on trying to be mentally and emotionally prepared since the beginning of the season.
You know, chemistry is interesting because it's something that a number of players on the team have talked about, and it's one of those things that people talk about when things are going either really well or really badly. When you're recruiting, can you recruit for chemistry?
I think we try to, you know, but for the most part, when you're dealing with young people, Jim, a lot of it's an educational process, because they all come to school and they are the top players on their high school team, and they're required to go out and make major contributions night in and night out if their teams can't win. So when they come to college now, you're asking them to blend in instead of being the man, be one of the guys. And sometimes that's a little challenging when you have people who care a lot about them, who watch them play in high school and in AAU ball, and they expect them to pick up where they left off in high school, and it's just not that way. And sometimes that adjustment is challenging for our youngsters. Many times the parents will be saying, he just don't seem like himself. Well, he's not. You know, he's not real comfortable because he's learning and things are not habit. And most of the time, as the kids buy into that, they understand. And we spend a lot of time talking about those things behind closed doors, and our guys seem to be connected pretty good. and we seem to be developing strong chemistry.
Leonard Hamilton joining us. You know, it seems to me when you lay it out like that, it seems to me that when you get a young kid who comes in and plays at that level in that conference, it's all going to be challenging enough for all the reasons you just mentioned. They've got to make sacrifices. They have to make adjustments. But to that other part, when there are so many other voices in their ear, be it social media, be it a parent, be it a family member, be it AAU, how challenging is it to get their attention to focus on your message instead of every other message that people are trying to put before them?
It's a lot more challenging than probably meets the eye. But what we try to do is deal with it head on. We peel back the onion. We talk about it. We be specific. You know, we talk about the challenge of doing it. So we try to give them the tools to understand that it's people who care the most about them, but they're not in this situation. And we try to have exercises in such a direct level of communication that we seem to have found a way to communicate with them where we don't disrespect the people who have been responsible for them up to this point, and we try to educate our players as to how to deal with it and then understand how unique and special you have to be able to balance all of this out. And our guys have bought in.
Now, so you've got family and you've got friends, you've got people that love them, have their best interests at heart. And it might not, the message might not be consistent with what you and your staff has. But then that's different than, for instance, social media. How do you approach social media? How do you advise them in terms of using it, consuming it, and going forward with social media?
I tell you, Jim, we just try to deal with things openly and honestly. And there's enough mistakes going on around the country in every profession and they're all walks of life for us to have enough material to put in front of them to show them the pitfalls and the mistakes that people make. And so we're constantly addressing it, and I think we minimize the negative effect because we are not putting our heads in the sand, and we almost talk about it on a daily and regular basis.
In other words, communication's key. Leonard Hamilton joining us. Now, last year you won 26 games, and then you lost three leading scorers, four starters, and a total of five key contributors, but you have not taken a step back. In fact, as I mentioned, you're undefeated, and it's generated a lot of surprise outside the program. But are you surprised, or did you know you had something special in the returning players, especially the members of the Boom Squad?
Well, there's no doubt that the Boom Squad, the guys who came off the bench last year, had major contributions to our team. And I think that was kind of minimized on a public basis because of the recognition that Isaac and Bacon and Mays and Ojo and Jacquez got. And so people automatically thought that we would take a step back because we're not one of those regular traditional successful historical basketball programs that have been in the forefront for the last 65 or 70 years. We kind of a program that's kind of come lately to the basketball world, and so people have a tendency every year in the preseason to predict that the guys who have been there all along will step right back up to the year, and those guys who make those predictions don't have to be held accountable. So you forget about them as to where they pick, but we expected this. We expected to have a good season, but we're realistic. This is the beginning of the season. We've gotten off to a pretty good start, but in another three, four games from now, our first game on the road this year will be at Duke. Our second game will be Carolina. Our third game will be Miami. The fourth game will be Louisville and Syracuse. So we know that we are preparing for Murderous Row, just like we did last year when our first six games in the conference was against all top 25 ranked teams.
We're talking to Leonard Hamilton for a few more moments. Let me ask you about one of your upperclassmen, Terrence Mann. He went from averaging about 8.5 points per game last year to nearly 16 per game this year. What do you make of how he has stepped up when the opportunity presented itself?
I think it's the improvement of our execution of the system. Last year we had what you call some guys who we consider go-to guys. This year, we are the go-to guy on this team is the guy with the highest percentage shot. And we've tried to convince them that we did not have Dwayne, but we have a team of guys that are capable of scoring and doing some positive things. But in order for us to do that, We had to move the ball and move our body, and then we had to read and make good decisions. And I think because of the execution of offense, Terrence has been able to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented because we're executing better as opposed to maybe concentrating on going to just one or two people.
Yeah, right, and then the system, right? Then they get to know the system, they grow in the system, they learn the system. Look, he's not the only member of the Boom Squad who's taken his game to another level. And for all the hype in college basketball about freshmen and one-and-dones, and look, I don't care who you are, what your system is, who the coach is, you don't win without talent. But for all the hype about the one-and-dones, how valuable is it to have guys who are in the program for a number of years who just keep getting better and better?
Well, there's no doubt Phil Kofor is one of those guys. He's been in the program, had some injuries he's had to overcome. He stepped in right now, stepped in and making major contributions. Chris Camaggi, our 7'4 center, who's kind of on the mend for a little foot injury, he has gone from a guy who's just shooting almost close to 60% from the floor and blocking shots. And you got a guy, C.J. Walker and Trent Forrest, guys who are making major contributions to our team who people knew very little about. And then we have MJ Walker, a freshman, that's coming in, and he's finding his way. And I expect before the ACC play starts that he's going to be a guy who's being more consistent.
All right, before I let you go, you did kick off the season with the annual Jam with Ham. Last year you broke out that legendary multicolored suit that was one of the greatest I have ever seen, which we did talk about at that time. How did you go about picking your look for this year, and how would you describe the result?
Well, I will say this. I'm not going to wear any more platform heels. I know exactly how women feel now with high heels.
Right.
My feet were hurting. And my wife didn't particularly like that. I can't tell you what she said I looked like. And she said I was embarrassing the family. But all the fans seemed to like it except my wife.
Happy wife, happy life. And isn't that what matters, right? I mean, how many things do we do that we think that we don't want to do and that we know are wrong but keep doing because the wife says so?
I tell you what, I've been looking through my costume for next year with Jam and Coach Ham. I think I'm going to have to tone it down a little bit.
Or dial it up. Maybe go the other way with it. Florida State's 9-0. They're number 19 in both polls, and they've got another big one coming up. Oklahoma State versus Florida State in Sunrise, Florida on Saturday. Leonard Hamilton, my guest. Leonard, great to have you back. Always look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Talk to you soon. Coach Leonard Hamilton joining us. But they look so good against Florida.